From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, June 18th, 2026. I'm your host, Boston Christopher Gunth-Cheesh, Hawa, Tuxknussum, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. You may also join us via our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Today, the recurring Glacial Lake Outburst Flood, or GLOF, here in Juneau, has broken records the last three summers. What's the expectation this year, and what does the future hold? Today, we chat with Aaron Hood and Jason Amundsen, two scientists from UAS, along with KTOO reporter Alex Solomon. June is Pride Month, and Glitz is back for 2026. Today, we chat with Juno Drag organizer Miss Gigi Monroe and performer Miss Cato. And we chat with Deb and Linda from the Juno Commission on Aging about updates and events for seniors. Those conversations are coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. And this weekend is summer solstice, and tomorrow is Juneteenth. We'll be off for the holiday tomorrow. But a couple events I wanted to mention for this upcoming weekend. The Only Fools Run at Midnight. The Fun Run is coming up on June 20th. The event is a fundraiser for the JDHS cross country team. And you can find out more about this race and get yourself involved is tinyurl.com/foolsrun2026. Again, that's tinyurl.com/foolsrun2026. Always a good time, the Only Fools Run. So get yourself involved with that. Also, this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the afternoon is the Fantastic Garden Tour from the Southeast Alaska Master Gardeners. It's a tour of all the wonderful gardens here in Juneau. So you can check that out. Go to www.seak-mastergardeners.org for more information on that. And speaking of Juneteenth, Black Awareness Association is going to have a celebration, which was going to be this Saturday on the 20th, but has been moved to June 27th. It's going to be at the Bowie Deck, and it'll be next Saturday, the 27th. And you can go to the Black Awareness Facebook page for more information on that event and find out what's going to be happening with that fantastic event as well. All those cool things coming up here in Juneau over the next couple of weeks.
Hanson Gress, ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakaya ha anikak.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juno at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com, federally insured by NCUA. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Ok Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Coming up later this hour, I pitched it earlier at the beginning of the show, Glitz 2026. But first, we have to do GLOF 2026. It doesn't have the same ring as Glitz 2026, but it is also something that we're talking about. We're going to start today with the GLOF, the Glacial Lake Outburst Flood. What's going on with it this year? What's the expectation? And I have some fantastic people joining me in the studio now. I have Dr. Aaron Hood, UAS Professor of Environmental Science, and also the department chair of the natural sciences. Gwyneth Cheesh, how are you today, Aaron?
I'm good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, excellent. Welcome back. I also have Jason Amundsen, professor of geophysics out at UAS as well. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Excellent. Thank you for coming in. And then we have KTOO reporter Alex Solomon. Gwyneth Cheesh, Wasiti, how are you today, Alex?
I'm good. Thank you for having us.
Of course. So first things first, before we get into details, I do want to make sure that we mention that the panel that is coming up on June 30th is going to be taking place. Alex, will you tell us a little bit about this panel that's going to be happening?
Yeah, so I'll have these guys as well as some of our other representatives that are in the science world. So Aaron Jacobs from the National Weather Service, Jamie Pierce from USGS, and then some people from the city and the Army Corps will join us to talk about the science underlying the Glacial Lake Outburst Flood, our expectations for this summer, and preparations for not only this flood, but all the ones that are going to happen in the future.
So I guess the first question that I have for our scientist pals over here is, we've broken records the last 3 years in terms of the height of the flood, right? Do I have that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. So what are we looking at this summer? Are we looking to, not that we want to be breaking records here. Usually that's a good thing, but no, we don't want to. What's it looking like, Jason?
So I would say the last 3 years, the reason the floods have gotten bigger is the basin has drained all the way to the bottom. And in past years, that hadn't happened. So in 2023, it didn't quite drain to the bottom, but pretty close. 2024 and 2025, it did drain all the way to the bottom. So that's why the floods the last 2 years were bigger. And then last year's also coincided with this atmospheric river. So it made the discharge even higher than it would have been. But if you just compare 24 and 25 to each other, just looking at the outburst flood part, remove all of the runoff from rain, they're actually pretty similar to each other. And also the volume of Suicide Basin hasn't changed all that much from last year to this. So my suspicion is it's going to be fairly similar to what we had last year. Could be a little bit bigger, could be a little bit smaller. I wouldn't be surprised either way.
And what causes the basin to drain all the way? What is that? What happens there? I love when I ask a question, they laugh at me because they're like, they know they're doing the science on this.
Yeah, no, I have no idea. Really, I mean, that's something we're trying to figure out.
Yeah. So because in 2023 it didn't drain all the way, but then 24 and 25 it did drain all the way.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess what I would say is that when the basin drains, it connects to the drainage system beneath the glacier, and where it makes that connection might affect how far it's able to drop.
I see.
So maybe it's able to make a connection at a sort of higher elevation along the edges of the basin as opposed to making a connection at the very bottom.
I see.
But why it does that some years and not others, I don't know.
Oh, that's so fascinating.
Yeah, and I think another point is that in 2023, it drained much farther down than it ever had before. And that was what really caught everyone by surprise.
Right.
And so the question, one of the important questions now is the drainage pattern that we've seen in 23, 24, 25, where it drains completely or mostly completely, is that the new normal? Is that what we can expect going forward? And I think we're all sort of assuming that that's how it functions now. But if it were to go back, obviously that would give us the potential for smaller floods. But based on what we've seen the last 3 years, it looks like this pattern where the water fills to the top, it overflows the ice dam for some number of days, and then drains out subglacially is kind of the pattern that it's settled into.
I see. Okay.
And can you guys talk a little bit about the physical factors at play there? Like, I know it's still a mystery, but you have, you know, this tunneling through the water under the glacier, and then you have the pressure of the glacier on top, right?
Yeah. yes. In terms of how the flood happens or how it starts?
I guess both. And maybe how it stops if it's not going to drain all the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. How it starts, that's definitely a bit of a mystery. But I think we have pretty good models that describe how the floods work, which is that as once the flood starts, you have water flowing through this channel, and it's carrying heat and producing, you know, this turbulence, and that's producing more heat, and that melts the ice above it, and so you have this channel that's getting larger over time, which is why you see when you look at the hydrograph, you see it sort of gradually increasing at first, and then it starts to rise really sharply until you reach the peak, and then it stops basically once the water has dropped to the level of the channel that the water's flowing out of.
Interesting. Okay. This is probably, I'm such a layman, I'm just curious. Like, does the receding glacier have anything to do with the potential that it's draining more to the bottom? Is there any correlation there at all?
Not directly. I mean, okay. Ultimately, if the glacier keeps receding, it's not going to act as a dam anymore, and that's sort of the end point of this flood, which will occur some decades in the future, and we're trying to do some work to kind of pin down maybe when that might be likely to occur. In the near term, there's a lot of ice there, and so the glacier receding is probably not, I mean, really what happened is the Suicide Glacier, the tributary glacier, receded and left the void space. And so that was what created the whole situation that we have now. And eventually the Mendenhall Glacier retreating will end the situation when it gets to the point where it's no longer creating an ice dam in front of the basin. Again, some decades
some from now. Long way. But so are we anticipating the future being, I guess, I don't want to say worse, but these are going to continue, right? I mean, and we're just trying to figure out ways to mitigate it. And is that what y'all are working on throughout the year? Is like, what are we going to do to sort of mitigate the potential for future floods? Or,
I mean, that sounds more like something the engineers are working on. Okay. But what we're trying to do is to understand how big the floods could be and how that's going to change over time.
So you're creating like models and thinking about what's happening and how big they might get. And what are you seeing so far? Good news, bad news.
Yeah, I mean, well, just from observations, not even modeling, the main reason the floods have gotten bigger is because when Suicide Glacier retreated from Mendenhall, it left a lot of ice behind in that basin. And as that ice has melted, that's created more storage capacity.
Okay.
And so as that ice is melting, we get more and more storage, but there's not actually that much ice left in the basin. What did we say it was, 10% maybe?
Yeah, a little
so 10,
under
10% of the volume is icebergs right now in that basin. So there's not that much more capacity to gain storage just by melting ice. At the same time, the ice dam, like from last year to this year, the ice dam dropped by 10 or 15 feet. So that's good.
If there's only 10% left, does that mean that it wouldn't necessarily get exponentially bigger because there's not enough space?
Based on that, yeah. The other part that is trickier is as the glacier is changing, the basin can kind of shift where it's sitting on the landscape. And so maybe it could access places that where the bed is deeper, where the bottom of the glacier is deeper.
Yeah, basically by expanding into the Mendenhall Glacier. And we've seen it expand over time because it's bedrock on three sides, but at the side that interacts with the glacier, that the position of that edge of the basin can change, and that's the concern we have, is that if it expands into the glacier and there's some deeper ice, you could add volume to the basin, but that's something that we're trying to study and model right now the potential for that.
And it actually hasn't changed. That location that Aaron is talking about hasn't changed that much over the last few years. It definitely has changed over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
But whether, you know, what's going to happen in the next 10, 20 years, that part we don't know.
So this panel, and I know there's tons of partners that are involved in this every year. And there was a panel a couple weeks ago, I think, that the city did. And there's tons of partners here in terms of figuring out what to do about it. And is the work that you all are doing helpful in terms of, are you giving them recommendations, or are you just trying to say, hey, this is potentially what could happen so that then they can prepare for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're helping a lot in the near term with the forecasting within a particular year. because we're always up there. Every few weeks we're flying a drone survey, and so we're resurveying the basin, which allows us to estimate how much the icebergs are melting and how the basin may have changed and changed the volume of water that it can hold. So we're contributing to that sort of forecasting effort. And then again, as Jason mentioned, in the longer term, we're trying to think about modeling the glacier to see how we can expect the basin and the glacier itself to evolve over the next decades.
Yeah. And if I may,
yeah.
If they find, for instance, that this, you know, outburst flood is only going to last another 15 or so years, that's right. That's going to factor into how the federal partners and the city, how much money they want to spend on a medium term or a long term solution. If they find that it's going to last a lot longer, right, like maybe it's worthwhile to taxpayers to pay more for a solution. So I think that the basic science information is critical for understanding how this is going to go for people who live in the valley.
Right, for sure. And I think maybe, Aaron, I can't remember if it was you I asked last time, but this is just like a so lame in question, but can we just like bomb it or something and just make it not happen? Like, what's the deal there?
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of emails that involve bombs and siphons and backhoes and glacier melting. And the simple answer is that the scale of it really precludes doing anything. I mean, ice is very hard to blow up. And if you have a chance to travel up there and you just look at the volume of water and the size of the glacier, it's not something where we can drop a couple backhoes on the glacier and they can scrape a channel to help drain it and then the ice would refill that anyway, right? The glacier's moving. And so there's not any obvious feasible solutions for draining the lake with bombs or other things that I've heard. I mean, obviously the tunnel was being considered and that's, you know, been maybe put on the back burner. I'm not sure the exact status of that. And mm-hmm. that was a separate issue from some of the things you're talking about with bombs and backhoes and siphons and things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the tunnel would have gone through Bullard Mountain. So it would have been like a rock-based solution rather than an ice-based solution. And yeah, it has been put on the back burner again because the Army Corps wants to know how long this is going to last before they front billions of dollars.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. So again, this panel that's going to be taking place, what is on the agenda for that panel, Alex? I mean, I know you got all these partners there, and this is open to the public, right? This is open to the public.
Yes, this is specifically intended for the public. Public, please join us at Thunder Mountain Middle School on June 30th at 6 p.m. We're going to be talking about how officials are planning to protect Valley neighborhoods and the latest science again.
Yeah, okay. I guess, can you tease us with a little bit of the latest science? I know we've been talking about it, but is there other things you might be revealing on June 30th that you can give away right now?
I don't know if there's, I mean, we've done a couple of surveys so far this year.
And, yeah.
I mean, I mentioned that earlier, that we've started taking a look at how things have changed from last year to this. And it looks like the spillway, the ice dam elevation is maybe 10 or 15 feet lower, similar amount of icebergs as there was last year. So if anything, I would say at the moment that looks like the volume of the basin might be a little bit lower than last year, but still quite preliminary.
How much does this take up of your time over the year? I'm just curious, because I know you also like do things, you know, you're professors and you have other things going on. I'm just curious, like how much has this over the last 3 years really taken up of your time, Aaron?
It takes a lot of time. I mean, I think between answering emails, I put a lot of time into the website, the flood dashboard that we created. And so, you know, and I think all of us in terms of the surveys and trying to answer questions and do public outreach and respond, you know, when people are emailing even the website, the email at the website. So it does take a lot of time, but, you know, I think it's a big part of our job. We're supposed to be doing research that's regionally relevant at UAS. This is obviously extremely regionally relevant. And, you know, for us, it's like having something that's applied to work on like this is a really cool experience. One plug, just quickly, there are a couple other presentations coming up.
Okay.
One is June 25th at 6 p.m. at Chapel by the Lake, the Juneau Flood Solution Advocates have organized a community meeting, and that's going to talk about the science and also about, someone's going to talk about tunneling and the logistics of that as well. So that, you could probably find information on their website. And then there's a weather service.
The weather service has an open house on...
Yeah, they have one next, I think it's next weekend.
Next Saturday, I think.
Yeah, next Saturday. Yeah. They were trying to get them on the show next week to maybe talk a little bit about that. Okay. And the website that you're referring to, is that the JunoFlood.org website?
That's the one that UAS created with the maps.
Yeah, okay.
And then there's the Juno Flood Solution Advocates have their own website for where they're advocating for solutions within the valley, kind of on the mitigation end of it.
Right, and I think the city has some information on their own, on the city website as well.
Yes, for sure.
Juno.gov, but you can go to JunoFlood.org for some of the information on things that are going to be coming up. Jason, Aaron, Alex, thanks so much for joining me today. Good luck with all the panels, because it sounds like you're going to be busy talking about that. And we'll get updates. You can always follow Alex's stories at kto.org. She'll be following the flood. We're going to have full coverage on KTO 360 TV this year. Again, all that stuff will be in place. So be on the lookout for that as we get closer to, I guess, right, middle August, potentially. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
The window's large right now.
The window's large. Okay.
So I think July 17th to August 21st thing the weather service.
I'm going August myself.
Yeah, is this something we're going to have to start putting like when the ice breaks, people are going to start putting bets on this?
The water level in the basin is a little bit higher right now than it was last year at the same time. So if things continue at the same sort of trajectory, I would expect it to be a little sooner than last year.
Ooh, okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Gwyneth Cheesh, for being here. I really appreciate it. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Hot stuff. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. June is Pride Month, and many activities abound throughout the month. And this year, the grand finale, Glitz 2026, the annual big giant drag show, is taking place in a new location, the now called Historic Aurora Grand Theater. It's next weekend. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but one show is already sold out. So it's going to be huge. And there is also a new website to go and get more information. It's junodrag.show. I love that you have the new website, Gigi. That's
kind of
cool.
I know, thank God.
Dot show just makes it perfect. And so I've got joining me in the studio now, organizer and drag mother of Juno, Miss Gigi Monroe. Gwyneth Cheesh for being here.
Gwyneth Cheesh for having me.
And I also have performer Miss Cado in the house. Welcome in. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Gwyneth Cheesh for being here.
Sheesh.
Yeah. So, Gigi, tell me a little bit, just a little about the history of Glitz, because it's been around for a while. So start with just a little bit of the history.
Yeah, we had our first Glitz. It was our big Pride drag show 11 years ago. We started in 2015. Can you believe it?
Wow. That's crazy.
Back at the old Rockwell Ballroom.
Yes.
R.I.P.
Rockwell, R.I.P.
Yes. We had a great time. And, you know, we just started doing it because we had several other Pride events in town. You know, we had the annual PFLAG and Sigla Picnic. That's been around for a long time, and lots of other smaller events. But, you know, I brought my whole drag career with me when I moved to Juno in 2013, and folks said, you know, we really want a big drag show.
Because, we need a bash. We need something big.
Just a big old party, big old show. So we started then, and we've been doing it even through the pandemic. We did our outdoor parking lot glitz at UAS.
Yeah.
We've done it at venues all over town, and now this year we're at the newly renovated Aurora Grand Theater.
Yeah, that is so cool. That space being renovated. I've seen pictures online. It's really cool. So are you going to be in the upstairs
area?
Yep,
we'll be in the balcony theater. If y'all have been in there, there's like the main movie theater on the ground floor, but then upstairs there's a smaller theater. It seats about 100 people, and it's, you know, brand new, reupholstered, gorgeous, comfy seating.
It's
really nice. And it's just cool to kind of be part of an effort to bring a new space, or, you know, a historic space alive again in the city and have another venue for arts.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be great because they're going to show movies, but they're also going to have live events like this. And that's really what they want, to create another space to perform. So before we talk to Ms. Cotto here, can you tell us a little bit about your special guest star this year?
Yeah, that's a great question. Every year we try to bring somebody in who is a little bit different than what you might get locally. And there's so much different kinds of drag talent all over the world. This year we're bringing a live singing queen, and she was on RuPaul's Queen of the Universe show.
Okay.
Now that show, unlike Drag Race, which some people may be familiar with, that show was a competition amongst 14 live singing drag queens from around the world.
So let's get this straight, because a lot of times drag performers are lip syncing to a song, right? But there is another category of live singing.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Right. So, you know, people who just are that talented, unlike me, but you know, there are some really great live singing divas out there. And so through this competition, she was on the first season of it that aired in 2021, and she took third place amongst, you know, in this international competition. So
she's pretty
fierce. She's played Lola in Kinky Boots, if people are familiar with that musical. Mm-hmm. She's just a powerhouse vocalist, a really seasoned pageant glamour queen. We know each other. We're related from our drag lineage in Atlanta.
I see. Okay.
But now she's in Chicago, and she's coming out to Juno to entertain everybody at Glitz.
That's been so great that you had a sort of career in drag outside of Juno, and then when you've moved here, you've been able to sort of bring guests and bring people through your connections and through your family of drag up in all through the years, which I just think is fantastic. So, and you continue to do that, which is awesome. And so they'll be performing sort of...
Oh, sorry, I didn't say her name. Her name is Aria B. Cassadine.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
Yes.
Yeah, Aria. That's a great name.
Not just a clever name. Right.
It's like because it's this person who sings. So anyway, that's going to be great. And there's a long list of others we'll get to in just a minute here. But I want to say hi to Ms. Cotto. So can you tell us a little bit about your drag history and how you got involved?
Yeah. I'd say I'm a longtime Glitz fan, first-time Glitz performer.
Awesome.
I was born and raised in Juno, so I've been to a lot of drag shows here. My first time performing in Juno was last May. There was an amateur show on May 31st, kind of like a countdown to Pride Month, and that was a lot of fun. I've done two more amateur shows since then, and then this will be my first performance in Glitz.
Cool.
Which I'm really excited for.
What is it about it that you love? How did you, is it the movement? Is it putting together a character or a costume or the outfits, or what is it that you love about it?
I think I really like performing. I did musical theater in like middle school and high school, and then dance team in high school and college.
Oh, so you've got all the skills.
Yeah, I'm a dancer, I would
say.
Yeah. but yeah, it's just a fun like combination of a lot of different skills, and I like the makeup is really fun.
Mm.
So yeah, it's fun to also like choreograph your own stuff, because I've always been, you know, told what to do by a coach or a teacher.
Ah, I see. Yeah, there's, because now are people in this, because I think it's been done both ways, right? Sometimes there's single performers, but then there's also group numbers and stuff like that. So are you performing solo, or are you performing with a group, or both?
I think everyone's doing both.
Both, okay.
I'm doing, a solo, and then we're all doing like a closing
like a group number. Yeah. Okay, that's kind of cool. So when you think about like your solo, how do you pick a song? Where do you begin in terms of your creation? Is it something that connects to you musically somehow, or is there something in the song that you go, oh, I can take that and make some dance moves around that?
Yeah, if it's one I'm going to be dancing to, I like to make sure it's a tempo that I can walk to reasonably.
Because
if it's too fast, then
there's
just
tripping
you
involved.
You just look silly. Yeah. You're like strutting, but like way too fast.
Right.
And then if it's one I'm not dancing to, or like, I guess I still dance a little, but like a park and bark more, that's
right,
like
right.
just something I would connect to emotionally.
I
but
see.
This one's more of a dancing number.
Awesome. That's so cool. That's so cool that it's your first time doing Glitz, because I've seen the list here that Gigi provided, and there's a lot of, I would call, veterans involved here. Max Stout, Gams Divine, right? Spruce, a few others that I see on here that look familiar, but then we have new people like Miscato. And I'm really curious about this. I was thinking about it when I was looking at this list here, because I feel like in drag, like, the name creation is part of, like, there's just a culture around the name creation. So how did Miscato come about for you?
Well, my legal first name is Ava, so kind of like avocado. That's what I was thinking.
I love it.
And then at my first amateur show, Gigi was like coming through and asking like how to pronounce everyone's names so she could announce us. And she was like, oh, like the wine. And I was like, oh, Moscato. Yeah, I guess. I didn't even think of that.
Interesting. Okay, so. I like that. All right, good history there. That's kind of cool. And I don't think I've ever asked you, Gigi, where did Gigi Monroe come from?
You know, I wish it was as cool of a story as Moscato, but
Gigi doesn't rhyme with something?
My drag family name is Monroe, so that's my mother's last name, and there are a lot of Monroes in Atlanta, so that was pretty easy.
I see.
And then Gigi, I don't know, I really admired Marilyn Monroe in my early drag performing times, and so I was excited to have the last name Monroe. And so Gigi kind of felt like elegant and glamorous and kind of old school Hollywood to me. So I just kind of picked it randomly. Mm-hmm. There weren't any other Gigis I knew at that time, which was also like a huge consideration.
Right.
Because there's like 10,000 drag queens in Atlanta. Yeah. So trying to pick a name that no one else has is like also kind of hard.
Because you want to be unique, right? You want to be unique. You don't want to be copying somebody else's name. And it's a big part of the, like ostentatious. There's somebody named Ostentatious here, which I think is hilarious. Like the play on the names is just so fun. So can you tell me, Gigi, what we can expect? If I have never been to Glitz, what happens? We've talked a little bit about, we're going to have some dancing, some singing, some lip sync performance, also some live performance. Tell me what the evening is made up of.
That's a great question, because we really like to provide an immersive experience for folks. So it starts like the minute you walk in the door. There's something going on. So our lobby this year is really exciting. We've got some really cool different organizations and vendors and local businesses we're partnering with to make a really fun experience. So we have a queer voting block registration. So there's information about voting and getting involved, which is awesome. We have NAMI Juno is tabling for us with lots of information about their programs and services. We have our amazing silent auction every year that Abby O'Brien puts together for us. So shout out to Abby. It's three nights of auction, and all of those dollars that we raise through that is going to the funding of the maintenance of the Rainbow Crosswalk. And whatever's left over will go to the theater for their renovation. So we're really excited to fundraise for that. And then we have a new local business we're partnering with. It's called Redbird and Raven. And it's a cookie company.
Oh.
It just opened up in the Foodland Shopping Center.
I think I heard about this.
Yes.
Yeah, tell me about it.
There are these incredible cookies that are like laser printed.
Yes.
So there's all kinds of beautiful designs.
She was here last year at some point, and I remember she made me a cookie that said Juno Afternoon on it. She made me cookie with the logo on it, and she said she was coming to Juno to create this business and offer classes and stuff like that. And so this is happening.
So this is happening, and she's coming in. She's bringing her machine with her. So if you show up to Glitz, you can get your picture taken and printed on the cookie. During the show.
I love that.
So it's going to be something crazy and cool, but she's done 1,000 different pride styles, and there's going to be cookies for everybody. We've also got TK Maguire's having a full bar there. We've got the movie theater having their concessions. And, of course, music.
Music.
So the lobby's going to be really exciting in and of itself.
Yeah.
Then there's the showtime, and we've got 15 performers bringing you all kinds of different styles of performance, like you said, dance, lip sync, live singing, comedy. And we have our amazing excuse me.
Yeah.
Our amazing MC, Kelsey Riker.
The MC of Juno, Kelsey yes. Riker. And you were also hosting as well, of
yes.
course. Yeah.
You can't get away from
that. Gigi Monroe hosting. No way. Don't want to. Now, the other question, now, Ms. Cotto, are you willing to divulge what your song is, or do you want it to be a surprise?
No, I'm willing. Okay. It's Runway by Lady Gaga and Doechii.
Oh, nice.
It's, I think it was in the new Devil Wears Prada.
Okay, right. Yeah. Okay. And so you've got some movements all planned out for that?
I've got some of it planned. I'm still working on it, but yeah.
Well, you have a week. You have a week to go. So just to remind everyone, this is Friday, June 26th. It's not this weekend. It's next weekend. Sort of a great way to close out Pride Month. Three nights of glitz. One of them is sold out. The Saturday show is already sold out. But there's Friday, June 26th. The doors open at 7. The show begins at 8 p.m. And that one is 21 plus on Friday night. Mm-hmm. Saturday is sold out, so don't worry about that. And then Sunday is open to anyone under 21, so there will be no alcohol and stuff. Or you're figuring out how to separate people on that day.
Exactly.
In terms of that. And that's an afternoon matinee. Doors open at 3. The show begins at 4. At the new Aurora Grand Theater.
And I will say we've only got 2 single tickets left for Friday.
Oh, there's only a couple.
Only a couple tickets left there. One's a front row seat and one's a VIP seat. And then on Sunday, we're down to about 40 tickets.
Oh,
so
man.
If you're thinking about coming, head over to junodrag.show and get your tickets or check it out and see if you can make it. We also have, if you can't make it, 2 amazing after parties planned. Friday night with DJ iCardi at the Alaskan and Saturday night with DJ Alvi at the Grizz Bar. Both of them are no cover, 21 and up.
And just before we close out, Gigi, is there other, I know in the past you've had like drag lunches and stuff during Pride. Are you still doing some of those this month? Is there time for people to get involved in other activities?
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Month?
This Saturday on the 20th is our big community picnic. So okay. I think if folks do anything during Pride, that's the big thing where everyone comes together. We're over at Sandy Beach like we normally are. Saturday afternoon. We also have our pub crawl on Friday night.
This Friday, tomorrow that's night. Okay.
Yeah, tomorrow. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so if you want to check those out, you can follow Sigla on Facebook. They're posting details about all of those other Pride events.
Yeah.
But it's been great seeing the community out and about and doing all the Pride things.
Fantastic. Well, if everything continues to get sold out, maybe next year you have to do 2 weekends of this. Ms. Cotto, Gigi Monroe, thank you so much. It's the Glitz 2026. I love that it rhymes this year, too.
Yes.
At the historic Aurora Grand Theater. Gunnath Sheesh for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Gunnath Sheesh. Have a
good one. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Keishi Bessie Cooley. And the word this week is sock.
Sock.
That means hooligan. And here is a sentence. People light hooligan grease. Let's hear it again. Hooligan. Gunnath Sheesh to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska at Southeast for this audio.
Keishi Bessie Cooley is Kokhetan and a child of a Yenyedi man. She is from Daisleen, Teslin, and grew up spending time in Teslin and around Teslin Lake. She earned a master's degree in Indigenous Languages and Linguistics from Simon Fraser University and interviewed many speakers for the Hashagun language series. She is currently translating projects for the Children of the Taku Society.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
This is Bird Note. Don't be fooled by the gentle whirring sound of a hummingbird in flight. This male rufous hummingbird performs elegant and aggressive courtship displays to defend his territory, and he may travel hundreds of miles to find a mate. In the spring, rufous hummingbirds journey up the Pacific coast from Mexico to the northwestern corner of the U.S. Some go even as far north as Alaska. That's almost 1,000 miles one way for a bird measuring just under 4 inches beak to tail making this one of the longest migrations of any bird relative to body length. But after completing one journey, the hummingbirds have to prepare for another. As fall approaches, they sip nectar and catch insects to pack on fat that will power their passage back to the tropics, this time taking the scenic route over the Rocky Mountains. But not all hummingbirds of the same species migrate at the same time. This male rufous hummingbird in the Pacific Northwest gets out of town early. He leaves the breeding grounds as soon as mid-June. Females stay behind to finish their nesting duties before heading south a week or two after the males, and their grown children trail after them in August. For Bird Note, I'm Mark Bramhill. Did you know you can listen to Bird Note in your podcast app? Subscribe to Bird Note Daily and never miss an episode.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juno Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017. Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson, right here at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. It's time once again for our check-in with Deborah Craig and Linda Kruger from the Juno Commission on Aging, whose top priorities are housing, transportation, and recreation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, recreation. Gotta recreate. You know what's so funny is, I think I told you this last time maybe, but I had a doctor on recently. There was a new doctor in town. And I asked him if he had a general piece of advice for everybody. You want to guess what he said?
Move.
Move. He did. He said, just get moving.
That's number one.
Make sure that you're moving. And especially these beautiful days we've been having, you got to get out and walk and sort of get the sun while you can. Like I was telling people earlier on the calendar that the Master Gardener's garden tour is this Saturday. Yeah. Perfect way to get out and see a bunch of beautiful flowers and gardens and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, Deborah Gunathchish Wasite, how are you today?
I'm great.
Excellent. And Linda, how are you today?
I'm terrific as well. Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Boston. It's good to be here.
So the Juno Commission on Aging, what do we got going on? We got lots of things happening here in the summer.
We have lots of things happening. And we were talking about moving, and there's a couple different ways to move. One of our priorities, of course, is, as you mentioned, transportation. Mm. And one of the ways that we can move seniors around town is through Capital Access,
which
is a bus service for people who are ADA eligible. And I think a number of people in town know that the contract changed last November, and the contract previously was held by CCS, Catholic Community Services, and now it's held by Ground Transportation Services, a local taxi company. And we have been in meetings of late with Capital Transit, a couple of representatives from Capital Transit, because as that contract change, you know, there's always sort of a little bit of a bumpy ride. Bumpy ride on a bus. Sorry. I didn't plan for that.
Never good for my back.
But it's sometimes a little bit of a bumpy ride. So we've been working with Capital Transit with regards to smoothing out some of the issues that have been occurring with Capital Access. And they've been working on applications, complaint reviews. They're doing a big software build out so they can track information and get better reports and support for riders and dispatchers. And I just wanted to mention, because I've seen some information online recently, that if you are having, and this is something that Capital Transit has encouraged us to encourage others to do, if you've had any questions or comments or issues with Capital Access, you are encouraged to call Capital Transit and talk to either Jody or Matthew. There's a couple people there that you're welcome to speak to. Their number is 907-789-6901. And they really want to hear from people. If, you know, everybody wants to hear if things are working and they've got compliments. But if things aren't working the way you had planned, this would be a really good way to get resolution and to give them information. I mean, I don't know what everybody's background has been, but I've worked with health and social services and complaints in the past, and we can't fix what we don't know about.
Right.
So we actually welcomed complaints. We wanted to hear from people if things weren't working the way they were supposed to. So if you're having issues with Capital, getting your service with
give
Capital Access, please give them a call.
It was 789-6901?
Yep.
Okay, 789-6901. Yeah, because Capital Access, what a great feature, what a great
super
thing,
service. You know, for, super, and an absolutely critical service.
Yeah, yeah,
so many seniors don't drive anymore,
yeah.
And or people who experience various types of disabilities aren't able to drive, even if it's a temporary disability
mm-hmm.
and you're not able to drive. This is a mechanism to get you to your doctor's appointments, get you to the grocery store, get you yeah. around town. So it is an absolutely fabulous service, and we want to make sure it works properly.
Perfect.
More movement. I don't know how why I'm drawing out the O's on that.
It's why like not?
Movement.
Move.
Okay. So today I was on Perseverance Trail. It was absolutely fabulous.
Ooh.
And it was an opportunity for me to think about how great our trail system is
mm-hmm.
and how fantastic it is for us to have this trail system that we can get out on all the I've been on a bunch of trails lately. With the sun coming up in the next couple days, I am going to be out there nonstop. So I really encourage people to get out on the trails. This afternoon, I did see a bear.
Oh.
And I just wanted to mention, too, that this poor bear was right on the side of the road, surrounded by tourists who thought he was pretty cool,
mm.
not realizing that this isn't Disneyland. This was a real bear who could mm-hmm. do some real damage. And if he did damage, then there were negative consequences for the bear.
Sure.
So I gave a tourist a ride around the bear in my car so that he could get to his trailhead. And I encouraged people to disperse because I'd really like to see our bears stay healthy and mm-hmm. happy in Juneau. And if they end up on the side of the road by accident, let's give them a break and try to stay away from them and encourage other people who might not know about bear behavior to stay away as well.
And don't forget to take your bells on your walks and
yeah.
things like that. Make
yep.
noise.
Yep.
You know, that's the best way to do it is if you have noisemakers that you can make sure that you're making those happen. Some people wear a bell on their waist and it just rings the whole time that they're walking, depending upon where you are, I guess.
Yeah. My husband just takes me because I talk the whole time. So there you go. So the other things that are happening, and Linda's going to follow up with a lot of other stuff, I want to remind people that pickleball is happening in Juneau. Pickleball is so popular. And this summer, not only is at Floyd Dryden, but it's also at the Treadwell Arena on Tuesdays through Saturdays, 1:30 to 5:30, if you're interested in pickleball. And Mahjong, I don't know if you read The Atlantic, but The Atlantic had a killer article about how popular Mahjong has become of late. And we have Monday Mahjong at the Douglas Library from 3 to 5. And we've started up a Valley Mahjong on Wednesdays from 5:30 to 7:30. We're looking for a permanent spot, but it's at Shepherd of the Valley right now.
Okay.
So lots of fun things to do. And Linda is very, very active. As you know, she's with AARP, does tons of stuff through AARP and on her own. She teaches a lot of pool aquatics. Actually, I'm just going to let Linda talk about it. Sorry, Linda.
All right. That's okay. Thanks. Thanks for the introduction. Yeah, I'll just run through the kinds of things that are going on. And these aren't specifically for seniors, but a lot of seniors participate in these activities. So the Diamond Park Fieldhouse, for those days that it's not so nice outside and you want a place that's warm and dry, Monday through Friday from 9 to 12. And some days it's open until 1. It depends on whether there's kids camps or other kid things going on. But you can check the website. The Juneau Parks and Rec website for the Diamond Park schedule. So we already talked about pickleball, but also at the Treadwell Arena on Tuesday through Saturday at 12 and 6, there's roller skating.
What?
So, roller skating.
Wow.
For any of those roller skating fanatics out
take
there.
Take me back.
There's a place, absolutely. Get your roller skates dusted off and get out there.
Do they have a disco ball going, I wonder?
I'm not sure.
They
That's
should.
Something to check out. Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, they got
yeah.
to.
And Deb mentioned hiking. Walk Southeast. We had a hike yesterday to the Valley or to the Southeast UAS Library, which was really fun. And the walk on the 29th is to the Valley Library. Yes. So we'll be walking to the Valley Library. And all these are available. You can get online at walksoutheast.org and look at the schedule for the walks. And there's also a hike on the 27th of June. And I'm not sure, they hadn't decided where that hike is going to go. But again, you can find out the location if you go to walksoutheast.org.
Yeah, and I don't think it's too, I mean, if people are doing that Walk Southeast, it's a great thing. Even if you haven't signed up for the summer deal, you can still show up and be part of the walk.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can still come to the walks. So the sign-up is closed. And in fact, they're going to have on the website within the next couple of days, they're going to have a place where you can sign up to be reminded if you didn't make it this year before registration closed. They'll send you a reminder when it opens up.
Oh, for next year?
April. Yeah, I think it opens up around April 1st or something like that. And just so you don't forget. And they'll send you a reminder. So you can go to the website. And again,
that's... Yeah, Juno won last year. Yeah. So we need to keep it going, Juno. We need to keep it here.
Yeah, walksoutheast.org. Okay, also Deb mentioned the pool. I teach at the pool, a healthy bones and balance and arthritis class on Tuesdays and Thursday nights from 5:30 to 6:30. And so that's at the downtown pool. And there's also a cool thing that we can do now on Tuesday nights. There's a floating yoga class from 6 to 7.
Floga.
And while we're down there doing our little workout in the shallow end, we're watching those people climb up on those floating mats. And so far, we haven't seen anybody fall in, but we're waiting.
That's good.
We're ready. We're ready when they fall in. So all that information is available, again, at the Parks and Rec website under pools. And just look under pools and you'll find all that. There's also water aerobics on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday out at Diamond Park Aquatic Center at 11 o'clock on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And they also have Tai Chi in the morning in the pool out at Diamond Park on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6 to 7. So lots of opportunities to move.
All of these are moving opportunities. Linda, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
When do you rest?
Oh, I try to rest between about 10 at night and 5 in the morning if I can sleep that late. But with the light,
but she
the
gets
way
to the
is,
pool at 6.
I'm at the pool by six.
At the pool every day?
Monday through Friday, I'll be at the pool at 6.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I teach in the evening on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I mentioned really quick is the America the Beautiful concert, Juno Volunteer Marching Band. I don't know if they've been on yet or not. They're celebrating 50 years.
Wow.
And so while that's not necessarily movement for us, it's definitely movement for those folks that are out there with the marching band. And so their concert is going to be Sunday, June 28th at 3 p.m. at Thunder Mountain High School. And it's kind of exciting because they're celebrating their 50-year anniversary.
That's pretty
amazing.
And
so we're going to have a little surprise after the concert. So I'm encouraging everyone to come out. That should be really fun. And AARP helps sponsor the marching band, too, and the Juno Community Band. So we're really excited to be part of what they're doing.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Want to give a plug to AARP because they're super active in our community and we really appreciate everything that they're doing. And Linda already mentioned, you know, it always blows my mind when people say, oh, there's nothing to do in Juno. Oh my gosh, there's so much to do in Juno. I mean, just walk outside is number one.
Yeah,
and there's flat hikes, there's hilly hikes, there's pools, there's the treadwell, skating.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
Absolutely.
There's so much to do. It's amazing. So you can jump onto the CBJ Parks and Rec website. That website is so robust, and it really gives you tons of information about things that are going on. And lastly, we, you know, again, one of our priorities is housing. If you want to jump on to go to your browser and put Juno Commission on Aging in, and we have some great housing information, how to help make your house more age-friendly. And that works for everybody, whether it's little kids or older folks. It's making your house age-friendly is a good thing to do for not just for the value of your home, but to make living there more pleasant.
Yeah, you have all kinds of information and a lot of events listed, too, as well on the Juno Commission on Aging website. As Deb said, just put that in your favorite search engine, Juno Commission on Aging. Deb and Linda are members of that commission, and you do fantastic work getting the word out about everything going on in Juno. I really appreciate you being here today. Have a wonderful rest of the summer. Well, I guess I'll see you in late July.
We'll be back in July.
Late July.
Yeah, sounds good.
But have a good 4th, I guess.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy all of that.
Great.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. And that's that's going to do it for this week's Juno Afternoon. We are off tomorrow for the Juneteenth holiday. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. You can find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. You can also find live stream archives on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support comes from Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, Tongass Federal Credit Union, and Country Financial. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Lisa Purvis. Have a great weekend, everybody.